Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to the Transformation Cafe with your host, Robin Misevich. Transformation Cafe, a weekly half hour of light, topical conversation about health, wellness, happiness, personal growth, spirituality, and other insights. We're glad you're here. Transformation Cafe, a fun place to nourish your soul. Now, let's get started and introduce our diners for tonight's show.
Well, hey, everybody. I want to welcome you to the Transformation Cafe. I'm your host, Robin Misevich, and we're talking about the loving of money. And I really, I had a lot of insights with this chapter. And one of the biggest ones for me was kind of near the end of the chapter where Lee Harris writes about the fact that money can be just this transformational friend for you, really just bringing you into the flow of money and having it be just a circle of plenty. And I just like, yeah, let's have some joyful receiving of that. So let me go ahead and get all my little co-hosts on. We got Miss Amy. How are you tonight?
Money, money, money. I'm excited.
Money. Okay. And then we got Miss Kelly. Miss Kelly, how are you tonight?
Good.
No. You're not going to chime in with the money, money, money. Okay. And Mr. Ross is here with us tonight, too. Hey, Mr. Ross.
I am fantastic.
He is fantastic, and he loves the money. He loves himself the money. Yeah.
He's a man,
yeah.
The pester.
Yeah, and you know what? I want to thank you, Ross, for being on here to give us just a little bit different perspective with the masculine. I think that's awesome that you're on here. So right off the bat, on chapter page 86, they talk about money as an expansion of our energy. And I think that's something that's really a profound thing to think about in the way that we are in the world. It's both for our personal energy and our collective and society energy. And as we explore them, our energy is strongly influenced by your thoughts, beliefs, emotions, and experiences. And what do you think about all that, beginning with that, Amy?
Well, you know, it what comes to mind, especially having Ross here, he is really great about bringing in money for causes and groups that he works with. I mean, he brings in money for, you know, our family too, but it's like there's a little bit of an energy difference between what he brings in for work and what he brings in for home.
Mm-hmm.
Just an observation.
That's interesting. You want to say anything about that, Ross?
Well, I as you know, I run a veterans center that is really run off of private donations, and so I think it's more of a networking collaboration. So, like, if I find out that we need to do a licensing agreement for, you know, $5,500 for the year, I'm not daunted by the amount. I just set that as a goal, and then I'm able to brief people to the value and how they could be part of our team and get credit for helping us achieve a peer program or a program that supports the vets. So And even in our personal life, we've always been, you know, we had a lot of things to deal with. We raised two kids. I went through a divorce and child support and all those kinds of things and many trips back east. But we've always had, like, a mindset of abundance, which doesn't mean we were running around spending crazy. But when there was something we wanted to financially accomplish, we were able to sort of manifest it. And it might not be in front of us right away, but things just sort of come our way. So we're not surprised by that, and we're not in like a mode of scarcity where, well, it's never going to work because we don't have the money.
Mm-hmm.
We're just, the money will arrive and we'll figure it out.
But I think part of the, you know, what he's saying is that, you know, with us, there's times when we do get the funds we need or something happens, and a lot of times we don't know exactly how that's going to happen. So I think that's the important part there, is being in that space, right, of being able to receive and not caught up in particularly how it comes in.
Well, one of the things, too, in the chapter it talks about is money is a key to your self-development. And as you understand that, you can look to see where the areas of limitation and freedom are for with you in relation to the way you express and how you create things in the world. And I think that's really something that that if you look at it from more of a way, it's like we're saying, where, you know, it's about having this loving relationship with money and not looking at it like, you know, if I don't have money, I'm not happy. If I do have money, I may not be happy either. So part of it's the being able to just have that in a sense of, you know, do I look at things as limitations, or do I look at things as freedoms in any given moment in my life? So what do you think, Kelly?
I got distracted reading part of a paragraph.
That's okay.
I think the biggest thing that has resonated with me is that debt is a socially acceptable way to punish ourselves.
And I love that. I don't love that, but I agree with that.
Yeah. And so a lot of my personal practice has been self-forgiveness for everything. Any part of me thinks I could have, should have, would have. And it's also working to make friends with money.
To have a healthy relationship.
Right.
Right. That makes sense.
And just knowing it's always there, even if I don't know how it shows up. And some days I'm better at it than others.
Well, I like your analysis. The fear attached to money is an invitation to remember your empowered self.
Yeah, exactly.
And I like that you talk about the debt, because Ross and I can bring in tons of money, and we have the whole time we've been together, but then debt just seems to come out of nowhere.
Right.
And, you know, and I think maybe now that you say that, maybe part of there's some kind of belief that there has to be a price. I don't know. I have to play with that. That's a really good point.
Yeah. Well, and I love the book talks about that. You know, there's a difference between the experience of having something and then the money. It's like, you know, money experiences can be mistaken with one another, and it's often the same value. They're not the same. You know, you can run into all kinds of sorts of troubles where, you know, you could crash and burn. But, of course, only after great effort and striving do you realize that money alone cannot guarantee the experience itself of being alive and being fully alive is something you can't put a value on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I think
absolutely.
That's really good.
Yeah. The exciting game of, oh my God, paying the bills, right? Which I think they talked about in the last chapter, right? It is like, no, we can let go of that, right? That's, the heroic, I saved it, or whatever. Whew! And then 89, about halfway, it says, beating yourself up over money is one of the surest ways to limit your abundance. Let's get an amen and a breath on that one.
And then, there we go. Well, and what, you know, as we're starting, go ahead, Ross.
I have not read the book part, but in my lifetime, I've regrettably buried a lot of family members. And at the end of the day, it's money on a ledger. And, you know, you could be extremely wealthy at the detriment of not having relationships with your family, and at the end of the day, none of that matters. Or you could be, I had my mom, she spent everything, and when her time came, there was a ton of people that didn't get their debts paid. But at the end of the day, it doesn't matter. Like when I had my health issue and I was in the ambulance, money was not my concern, you know?
Right, yeah, exactly.
So, and we've, over the years, through either ability with work or others, over 20 years, I was on an airplane every 3 months back east to spend a weekend with the kids so I could be at wrestling matches and football games and you name it, you know what I mean? Whereas I could have easily talked myself out about the cost of a ticket. But then you can never get that time back with the kids later.
Yeah,
I wasn't a frivolous. It was sort of the price of doing business. If I was going to be a distant father. I just didn't want to be a guy paying child support. I wanted to be a dad.
And I think that's a really good point. You're back to the experience. For him, it was about how do I create that experience and using those resources to do that.
Yeah, and that's a really good segue into, you know, the next section that we're going to talk about is that, you know, there's a difference between a money mind and a money heart.
Yes.
And
yes.
I think that's a very good example of what you're talking about, Ross. You know, you had to look at the practicality of, like, these expenses that I'm doing, but my heart really wants to be with my kids. My heart really wants to be in those experiences with my kids. So the money really didn't matter. It was a matter of, like, how can I be able to bring that in so I have connection.
Yep, I agree.
Yeah, I think that's just awesome.
And I love they talk about getting your money mind and your money heart in alignment.
Yeah.
Instead of having them
and, you know,
at war. What a beautiful
and the cool thing is,
right? That would be.
Yeah, we're going to do that. There's three exercises in this chapter that I really want to make sure we make time to do because they're all very, very powerful. Yeah. But, you know, the first two aren't very long, but they're very good. And, you know, the one thing that's really important is that you could rewire your money energy very fast.
Mm-hmm.
Very fast.
Mm-hmm.
So it's about addressing, you know, these emotions that you have and taking responsibility for your thoughts about them. And realizing that you may have, you know, a money ceiling on what you think you're worth. And, you know, if I'm in that, you know, I'm beyond value, you know, how would I look at that when it comes to, like, money? And you know, here Amy's talking about Ross and these possibilities of, like, yeah, there might be a goal of a certain amount of money, but I mean, I'm not going to say no to more. Right.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to say no to possibilities of more than I can even comprehend. That could be something that could benefit other people. And I'm a part of that people. So, and having to be something that's very good. So I'm going to go ahead and we'll walk through this. So let's all take a deep breath.
All right.
In, out. So imagine that you were given $100,000 tomorrow. How would you feel? Truly feel it for a second. And it feels good to you, and there are no fears of fears or hesitations. Multiply that amount by 10. Now see what cessation comes into your body. Imagine receiving $1,000,000. How does that feel in your body? What would change your reality due to the influx of this money? How do you feel about the potential changes? And are you ready for those changes? Now ask yourself, how much money am I ready for? Even if you have no specific goal in mind or need for more money at the moment, let yourself see and feel the amount of money that you're ready to put into your life right now. And write down that amount on a piece of paper. Put down a few words that describe how that money makes you feel in your body. So really getting into the heart, you know, money heart of things about how does it feel. So how is that for anybody?
So for me,
show me the money.
Really, it feels really comfortable. Yeah, I can, you know, and Ross and I do talk all the time about what we would do with funds. I'm really clear what I would do. And it's about creating. I love the idea of being a patron for my own calling and supporting other people's calling. So more money for me means I get to do more patronage and helping people live their genius, like Kelly talks a lot about.
Right, right. One of the quotes in this chapter that I just love is, money goes where valuing flows. I think that's so, it's such a powerful statement. Because it's just like anything else. It's just like, you know, in valuing the relationship I have with other people. If I valued and saw the unlimitedness that money can bring to me, as if I can open my hands and just say yes to the good, imagine what can be able to free you and bring in that much more for yourself and others. Because really, if you make yourself something where, you know, I know I'm always loved and cared for, and I always have an overflow so I can benefit others. And that's what I would truly want, no matter what that looks like. I don't necessarily have to have that project or whatever. If it's something that speaks to my heart and it feels good, you know, being able to move into that. So what do you think, Kelly?
I agree. I had to put myself on mute because cats were talking.
Yeah. They want to talk about money too.
They like money. More cat toys.
Yeah, more cat toys.
Very
Let's do it.
Clear. It just grows on trees.
Mm.
And yeah.
A cat tree.
A cat tree, exactly.
Yeah, crawling up and getting it.
Everything just magically appears for them.
That's true. Lucky cats.
And they're very clear. And they're very clear when it doesn't, when, you know, cookies
yep.
don't appear soon enough.
Yep.
They let me know. So I use them.
Not here, Mom.
Night.
What's going on? Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Because they've definitely got the abundance consciousness down.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Cats do. They're like, it is or it isn't. They're pretty cutting. They're pretty like yes and no. It's black and white. Pretty black and white.
Mm-hmm. They're pretty clear.
Yeah.
I don't think
How about
that
you,
answered
Amy?
Your question. I'm sorry.
No, you're fine. Yeah, we need to get into conversation with our cats. That's good.
I would say that when I met Amy, I was probably in pretty bad financial straits. I won't go into detail, but it was pretty much rock bottom. And so, you know, we had a saying that, you know, you can't take away my birthday, you know? And losing a house, going through the divorce, all those kinds of things. When all that stuff is stripped away, it's your real person. And then when you're that same real person, when we have abundance, and Amy and I have abundance, we have a very great life. We have a life of service to others. And we've been very blessed, and we've taken care of family and done all these things. We're financially in a lot better place than we were when we first started. But the same values of us are the same when we were broke. You know what I mean? So it's not like the people that go through life and say, "Wow, if I just had, a career at $100,000, everything would be great." No, not necessarily. You know,
right.
It's not,
right.
It's not, there is no mark on the wall. You're either a happy person with
right.
your life, with your values, or you're not.
Right.
And the income, it's shallow if it's about that. Like, if I only had a Mercedes, I would be happy. Well, that's sort of ridiculous in my mind. I'm not wired that way, you know.
Right.
As I drive my Ford Focus, you know what I mean?
Right.
But it's a great car, and it's everything I need, and it's just me. But it's not like an ego car, you know, where I have to show off, or I've never been that kind of guy, you know. But having a connection with my kids and having a connection with the vets at work and all that other stuff is much more beneficial.
Well, you say that, yes, and I agree with all that, except when you became an officer, you got a vanity car.
Oh, yeah, I did. I bought myself a Ford, a Pontiac Fiero.
And then what happened to that?
And then I destroyed it in a car accident in Germany.
So you thought you really wanted it, but then you realized, nah, that doesn't really make me happy. So there you go.
I only broke the front axle in two places, but I walked away from the wreck.
Wow. Well, and you walked away from it, so Spirit was protecting you, for sure. For sure.
Yeah.
So one aspect of the show that I want to make sure that we put on is it really talks about when it comes to anxieties that people have about money. And there's a really great exercise in here about if you are feeling uncomfortable, you can open up again by simply placing the palm of your hand at the center of your heart. And as you do this, you're supporting your heart physically and allow yourself to open to more of what is going on within you. Your heart is needed to lead your mind and intuition. It benefits greatly from the comfort of your touch. The safe boundaries of physical support helps to dissipate any of the anxiety or overthinking that allows your energy and your love to possibly rise. And I think that's great. So, Amy, you want to go ahead? Would you be willing to do this loving money for anxiety? That's a great exercise.
Yeah, the exercise of breath and light, that one?
Yeah, the breath and
the
light.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
All right. Take a nice deep breath in, and as you exhale, breathe out any thoughts or feelings that you no longer want inside you. Breathe out anything that feels limited or difficult. even if you do not fully understand why it feels that way. Take another deep breath, and as you do, think of all the thoughts, feelings, and moments from your past involving money that you would like to release from your being. Let them go. Breathe them out. As you are inhaling and exhaling, you may wish to visualize a circular opening where your crown chakra resides. See a funnel connected to the top of your head, allowing a cascade of gold freckled white light to come down from above. The gold light represents the currency of money, and the white light represents the eternal connection to the universe that will always bring you what you need. As you release past limitations through your breathing out, you are filling yourself with money's energy of the now. This money energy is yours. Breathe in, breathe out. Receiving and releasing. Receiving and releasing. From this open and peaceful place, can you love the money that allowed your parents to feed and clothe you before you were even aware of this currency? If you felt deprived, can you love money that did not come your way during childhood? Can you love the money that is currently helping you to live? Your home, however big or small? Your mode of transportation? The places you gain access to? The people you're able to gather with. Open your heart to money, and it will open itself to you. Feel yourself continuing to be filled with a cylinder of gold speckled white light. Feel it warming you, filling you with a new money energy. You can do this exercise anytime that you want to. And for right now, we're going to seal it and come back. Nice deep breath. Feel yourself back in your body. Open your eyes if they're closed.
That's a really nice exercise.
Mm-hmm.
And it goes on to say, you attract to you what you are resonating with. And I think that's another really powerful statement. That really, you know, here we're thinking about, you know, doing these kinds of exercises really just opens the opportunity for you to be bringing in things that, I love this one because it's giving and receiving at the same time. And it's, I think we've talked about this on the show before, where it's really important that you don't necessarily have to know what you're letting go of.
Yes.
There could be things that you don't even, that aren't a part of your memory anymore, or they're part of your subconscious that you just don't know. And I think you can totally let that go. Again, and the same thing with being able to bring new things in. You don't necessarily have to know what that new thing is, and just ask for it to be in your highest and your, you know, your most blessed, and have it come into your life, and have it be in a gentle, you know, integrative way. And boy, can life really change when we come from gratitude, and just thanking it for knowing that it's bringing in my best and my most joy for myself and others. I think that's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah.
Just want to check around.
And thank you, Ross, for getting. We brought in your car, and you were a great segue for that exercise. So I love that. That worked out really good. That really good. So anything else from that, Amy, before we get into walking our path, our money path?
Oh, I think it's a good idea to be, I think, really conscious of what do I need to release that's a block. For, you know, money, and not making money more important than anything else. It's just a resource. So clearing any blocks, right, and allowing it in. So I want to check in with Kelly and Ross and see if anything came to you. Kelly, is there anything with that experience for you?
Nothing that is coming to mind.
Okay, perfect. Ross?
Nope. Okay.
He's already shared. It was good.
Yeah. He did.
So the creme de la creme is this exercise called Walking Your Money Path. And it's a couple pages long, but it's really a great exercise. So trying to think how we want to do this. Do you want to just have one of us do it, Amy, or you want to share it?
Probably, well, whatever you feel is right to you, may be good just to have the consistency of one.
Okay, can I have you do it for me? That'd be great.
Okay. So this is a closing with an energy exercise to experience money love for the next 12 months. So go ahead. And after that, you'll be should be up and running your smoothly and enjoying money and the money energy with greater ease and flow. So let's say that will start immediately for everybody. All right, here we go. With a soft gaze, allow your mind to rest and feel your body internally. What do you feel physically right now? Do you feel calm? Do you feel restless? Beyond the thoughts you are thinking, what sensations and emotions are you feeling? Once you are tuned in to how you're feeling, in your mind's eye, see a path ahead of you. This is no ordinary path. It is an electric, green, luminous path that starts at your feet and run straight to infinity. You can't see the end. It just disappears into the distance. This is your money path for the next 12 months. You'll have a closer look at it. What is the path like relative to your feet? What does it feel wide enough to you? If it doesn't, go ahead and widen it. If you're not looking to broaden it in order to increase the amount of money you have, it is about being comfortable on the money path. So make it as wide as you would like it to be. Now imagine that you're moving along this radiant green path. Are you walking? Gliding? How are you experiencing your movement? The energy of your body is moving downward through your feet and into this path. Your energy is meeting your money path and giving it all the necessary information to understand your currency needs and desires. Your energy holds what you need financially on the soul level and on the human level, both of equal importance. As the information circuit between your energy and your money path begins firing, let it show you your golden sum of money, your ultimate sum. What is the golden amount sufficient for you to realize your dreams? Allow yourself to see that sum of money, and as you see it, feel it as well. If the sum you chose surprises you, or if it is different from the amount you would typically opt to go for, go with that you've chosen for the moment. This is the sum which is the truth of the moment. How does your golden sum break down? What amount of money would you be satisfied with each year? What amount of money would you be satisfied with each month? And what amount of money would you be satisfied with each week? Now, as you continue moving along your money path, pick a number between 0 and 100. The number you have picked is the percentage of your money energy that is currently focused in the past. There is no great drama if you choose a high number. This could work in your favor if your past is more financially abundant than your present. Let's break it down by decade and see what your relationship to money was like. What were your overall experience of money was and how it felt? What was your experience of money when you were a child, up to 10 years old? What was your connection with money like when you were an adolescent, 11 to 20 years old? What was your connection with money like when you were a young adult, 21 to 30? If it applies to you, what was your connection with money like when you were 31 to 40 years old, 41 to 50 years old, 51 to 60 years old, 61 to 70 years old, and beyond? Do you have feelings flooding back into you? Breathe them out as if they were uncomfortable. Do not be alarmed. It is an achievement to feel, and it signals that you are ready to release something from the past. Now focus your attention on your feet again, looking at your money path and sensing the movement ahead. See something very small yet bright glinting in the distance. As you glimpse it straight ahead of you, it is as if rays of light were bursting through to reach you. Stop moving and allow yourself to observe this glowing, bright light ahead on your money path. It may appear as a gold light or a bright white light, or maybe it appears as a multicolored spectrum of energy bursting through like a fireworks display. Allow this light to come to you. It could take a while. It might not be spontaneous. It may have a fair distance to travel to reach you, but allow it to move towards you. As it gets closer to you, notice how your path begins to change as the color meets this energy. The powerful light, multicolored gold or white, is getting closer and closer until it almost touches your skin. This is the sun of your money energy. This warming light, which is now either directly in front of you or safely all around you, is the beating heart of your money energy. Feel it. Feel its life. Feel its color. Feel it giving to you. Feel it filling your body. When you feel fully nourished by this energy, allow it to start slowly retreating, fading into a pinpoint in the distance until it finally disappears. Remember that you can access a special light anytime you'd like to or need to. As you step off the money path, know that your 12-month money transformation has begun. If you struggle to bring your money energy close enough to you, repeat this exercise until it gets closer and closer, and see this as a moment of triumph, because you have identified another block that you can now release. Now take a nice deep breath, knowing that this releasing and receiving is easy for you, and you can do this anytime that you need to and wish to. And you have support from the universe, you have support from your friends and your guides and everyone around you. All right, nice deep breath in. Feel yourself back in your body.
Wow, I love that exercise. It's so nice.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Yeah, it's very powerful. What'd you think, Ross?
Well, he was awesome.
Yeah, very good.
How you doing, Kelly?
I'm good. It was very expansive.
Woo!
Yeah, it was very, very expansive. And I really love that this is an exercise that really shows you about receiving and releasing at the same time. And we do it all the time anyway. But it's such a great reminder of really how energy really works, as opposed to how we want to compartmentalize the giving and receiving, because you can't do one without the other. So I think it's just an awesome expression of really how our golden sun of money is just wanting to shine on me. Shine on me, shine on you, shine on everybody. It's good.
So,
it's good,
Kelly,
it's good.
Would you be willing to read the money affirmation on page 102?
Excuse me?
Yes?
She didn't hear you, Anne.
Oh, Miss Kelly, would you be willing to read the money affirmation on page 102?
Yep, sure. My relationship with money is full of grace and ease. I listen to what it is saying to me. I pay attention to what it is showing me. I value how it helps me grow. Money is a reliable mirror reflecting my energy back to me each day. Thank you, money, for being my transformational friend.
Woo-hoo! Thank you for being my transformational friend.
Exactly.
I know, right?
I expect to receive.
I'm receiving my... Get some catnip going on. It's a good thing. Yeah.
That's right. My bowl is always filled by some magical person.
Exactly. Exactly.
And they clean my litter box, too. So there you go.
Yeah.
That's a bunch.
Exactly. I know, that is abundance. That is abundance. So next chapter is going to be about sleep. And sleep, they really feel, is a key to self-mastery. So that's going to be a fascinating chapter. That's very, very interesting. So
Ross
is
a professional at that.
He's a professional math. Well, we definitely, Ross, we'd love for you to come back and show us the masterful way that you're handling bringing that sleep into all you do. It's all good.
He He does sleep, a snore meditation.
I do too. I'm a purr. I purr. As I've been told in a yoga class one time, you're purring. I'm like, oh, I love you. Tell me I'm purring. That's okay. Well, thank you guys so much for this great show. Oh my gosh, it's such a, like I said, I'd really encourage everybody to go back and get Energy Speaks by Lee Harris. Check out the chapter itself. We just basically just gave you some highlights of just some of the wonderful things that are out there. So thank you, Miss Kelly.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Ross.
Thank you.
Okay, and Miss Amy, as always, thank you so much for being my co-host. All right,
I love it.
We'll see you next time here at the cafe.
Good
Thanks
night.
For joining us. Have a great week.
Bye, bye, bye.
Meow.
We hope you enjoyed listening to the Transformation Cafe podcast. To learn more, visit transformation-cafe.com for show notes, guest information, and links to previous shows. You can also subscribe to the Transformation Cafe podcast on iTunes. Join us again next time at the Transformation Cafe, a fun place to nourish your soul.